Welcome to the weekend in this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. And this weekend, we're going to look at careers for you, your kids, or grandkids, where a living can be made for a family without the worry of college loans and the long recovery from those. We're talking about the trades, things like sheet metal work, HVAC techs, electricians, pipe fitters, welders, plumbers, and more. My brother's an operator in a chemical plant, makes a great living with his trade. To help us navigate the trades and the benefits of this choice, Aaron Hilger, CEO of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. The path to a family supporting career without a degree or the associated expense. Today on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. We start it in just moments.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Feeling the aches and pains of everyday life slowing you down? Introducing Blue Emu, America's number one emu oil formula for pain relief. In a recent clinical trial, 91% of users saw improvement after using Blue Emu. Whether you're working hard, playing harder, or just staying active, Blue Emu penetrates deep to relieve joint and muscle pain fast. And best of all, you won't stink. Join the 91% who felt the difference. Find Blue Emu at your local retailer or online. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers' rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM.
It'll never happen to me. I'll never need help. That's what every boater thinks. But then one day, you do need help, and you have no way of getting it because you thought having an emergency locator beacon was unnecessary. You're wrong. Emergency locator beacons are effective, affordable, and they save lives. Seriously, if not for you, do it for them.
Learn more about emergency locator beacons at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network. Bill Mick with Aaron Hilger, the CEO of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. We're talking about trades jobs. We've got the National Careers in Trades Week coming up April 7th through the 11th, and we thought we'd get ahead of the curve a little bit. Aaron, let's talk about you and this association for a little bit. First, let's talk about some of your background. What got you involved in this trades association and what they can do for kids or even adults looking for another career?
Absolutely, Bill, and thank you for having me on your show. I love talking about construction careers in our industry, so it's always a nice opportunity to talk to different audiences. So I've been involved in the construction industry really all of my life. My father and grandfather were roofing and sheet metal contractors. I worked in the family business as a kid. I learned how to do both aspects of those trades, particularly architectural metal and roofing. Never thought I'd be in our family business, but then ended up, running the operations of our family's company for about 5 years after college. And then for a lot of different reasons, we made some strategic decisions to, focus on real estate and other things. And I went and started managing associations, which I've been managing construction associations now for almost 22 years. And I've been with SMACNA for the last 3 years. So it's a fantastic industry to be part of. It's given me so much.
Kind of took you away from the college world and the business management world, throws you a little bit into the world of politics, which has to be interesting as part of that job too.
Quite a bit. Yeah. When I got my first trade association job, they wanted someone, it was actually the Builders Exchange in Rochester, New York, a very old 1880s trade association. And they were looking for someone who understood construction, understood and could work with our partners in the building trades and negotiate labor agreements, and also could do government relations work. And that was really kind of three things that were right up my alley because I did a lot of political work when I was a kid.
Oh, fantastic. So you are well grounded and ready to handle all of this. Let's talk a little bit about the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. What are the goals and intentions of such a group?
Sure. So SMACNA is a national, actually an international trade association. We have about 3,500 members across 96 chapters in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Brazil. The core of our membership is in the United States and Canada, but we have some really, the fun international chapters are enjoyable additions to the family. SMACNA exists to help our members, you know, build great construction projects and to have competitive advantages as they're trying to work and get work and, you know, build out the infrastructure in the United States. We are a ANSI standard setting body. So one of the great things that we do is we create about 50 different publications involving construction standards, like the HVAC duct construction and architectural metal and industrial construction. So lots of different things that steer the course of the industry, but we also do all the things you'd expect a normal trade association to do. Lots of education and training programs, labor relations is a big activity, government relations is a big activity. And of course, all that dotted lines to careers in the trades, where we, you know, help our labor partners and our members, you know, build great apprenticeship programs and help build the next workforce.
You know, I've worked with some folks in our local community regarding recruitment and the like, and one of the things I've seen them struggle with is in past years, they were having trouble getting people to pass a drug test to be able to jump into these career fields, and a lot of openings and a lot of opportunity for people in various careers.
You know, that can still be a problem. The world's changed when it comes to different types of drugs that people may take. You know, pot is legal in many states, still not legal at the federal government. So a lot of folks have, a lot of areas and apprenticeship programs and construction companies have revised the standards they test to. The problem with that, though, is, you know, being on whether it's a prescription drug or an illegal drug or a legal drug that is impairment does create safety concerns. So we're always, you know, safety is foremost in the construction. We have to have a great trained workforce, and we have to have a safe workforce because we don't ever want any injuries.
Most certainly, and safety is a key. And insurance companies don't necessarily rewrite their rules just because the society may change around them. That's interesting. So we're going to talk this morning about a variety of career opportunities and how that training can come about. Schools for years have pushed college education on kids. Not every kid is geared to that. Aaron Hilger is going to talk about opportunities that are there for your kids, maybe for you yourself, depending on where you're at in your career path. All of that ahead this weekend on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Stay with us.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. That's 800-513-1652.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Bill Mick with Aaron Hilger, who's the CEO of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. As we talk about jobs in the trades, we'll get into the skills and education opportunities that are there as well. Aaron, let's talk about the various jobs or job types that are out there that folks could be interested in and make a living for their families here.
Absolutely. So, you know, construction has, you know, an incredibly wide range of jobs. So, you know, we'll focus a little bit, I think, on the building trade side of that, but I think we should also talk about the jobs within the companies too.
Sure.
You know, from a building perspective, you know, it takes an orchestra to build a building. That means you have laborers and carpenters and bricklayers and sheet metal workers and electricians and plumbers and iron workers and glazers. You know, you think about your house or your office building that you live in. You have a whole fleet of people that have different skills, different training, some common training like safety and, you know, understanding construction awareness and fall protection. But they all bring, you know, together a set of skills that create a high quality structure. You know, most people start in construction as an entry level worker. That may look a little bit like a laborer, as a sort of junior apprentice, and you're going to do different types of work that may be, you know, less skilled. And then as you get trained and as you learn and go through an apprentice program or whatever your path is, you'll get progressively more interesting and more demanding work that requires a higher skill set. You know, construction rewards people who want to show up and work and who want to use their hands to, you know, build great projects. And that's really what we're all about.
I'm impressed by the folks who can do that. Not in my skill set at all, and never was an interest I had. But there are a lot of kids, as they go through school, maybe not the academic, maybe not interested in that college career, but they do want to provide for themselves and their families down the road. And there are opportunities here for rewarding careers, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, at a starting point, you know, we don't expect people to show up at the door knowing how to build anything. It's great if they do. I mean, there's the sort of the old joke in the construction industry is the proverbial farm kid who, you know, grew up on the family farm and knows how to build everything and do everything because they learned it from dad and grandpa and whoever else was working on the farm, right? There are some of those kids around. But most people who show up at construction might have a few skills. Maybe they've taken a class in high school or done some projects with their family members or somebody they know in the industry. But we'll teach them everything they need to know. What we're really looking for is a great attitude. You know, the person who understands that showing up to work on time is being 15 minutes early and being ready to go right away, and knowing that you got to put in a full day's work for a full day's pay, and we'll pay you really well to do that. But it's really a get up and show up job. And of course, the other big thing you have to have is reliable transportation. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to have a career in construction unless you can get to, if you can't get to the job site.
That's very true. You know, we had a very similar philosophy, both when I was in law enforcement and in my avocation, which was officiating high school, collegiate, and minor league sports. You bring somebody in, you want the good attitude, the desire to be good at what you do, and then the work ethic to make it happen. And it does take some concentration. You do have to spend the time in the training programs, and you've got them around for these jobs, whether they're apprenticeships or just learning on the job from a company that needs somebody to come in and help out. They find that good worker, they're gonna help that kid.
Yeah, we want that person to be successful. It doesn't matter if they start in the industry when they're 18 or 38, right? We want the people who are, you know, they want a great job and they want a great career and that are committed to becoming a highly skilled, highly trained worker that wants to master their trade or craft. You know, I happen to represent the sheet metal side of the industry. So the people who build ductwork and do architectural metal and, you know, keep our buildings dry and, you know, safe and cool and, you know, keep indoor air quality strong. That's one whole, you know, great path. And you can be in manufacturing in the sheet metal industry. You can be in, you know, field install work in the sheet metal industry. The career paths are really kind of endless. It's just a question of how you want to go. And then you obviously have a different path if you're with a plumbing firm or a electrical firm or a carpentry firm. You know, there's kind of choose your own adventure in terms of the skills you want to learn.
Is there somewhere that someone, a young adult or maybe someone more senior like you're talking about, can go for some skills testing, interest testing to see where they're best going to fit in a trade like this?
I'm not particularly familiar with skills testing for that sort of space, although I think there's probably some high schools and some, you know, sort of trades-based programs that do that locally in individual markets.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the easiest things to do, particularly if you're in a more union-friendly area, is, you know, go visit your local building trades, talk to the different apprenticeship programs about what what their offerings are and what they train, and they're always going to be happy to talk to you. You know, if you're in the non-union sector, there's a lot of contractors that'll talk to you about the work that they do. And there's a lot of, both community college programs as well as trades-based programs that you can meet, talk to admissions folks, try to get an aptitude or an idea of what the different skills are, and then see if you have an aptitude for those. Of course, the other thing you can do is, go out and try to build something, find some friends that are working in construction and, get an entry-level job and give it a try.
Interesting. One thing that has seemed to have had a resurgence, at least in my area in Florida, in recent years, is vocational and technical education and that college path that education has pushed for so long, which is right for many kids, not for everybody, but vocational education has seemed to have taken off and given an opportunity where kids are walking out of high school now with certificates or certifications to be able to do mechanics work in marine mechanics, yep, or other mechanics or in the trades. And that seems to help a lot for those younger kids making a decision. Let's talk about those apprenticeships for a minute, though. Everybody is looking, or at least it seemed to be after COVID especially, everybody was looking for employees. And I would imagine that's still the case, and especially if the country starts experiencing any resurgence in building and expansion anywhere.
So we are in that resurgence of building and expansion right now. There are some concerns about the current political environment and maybe some economic issues with tariffs that could slow that growth down. But the construction industry today employs about 8.2, 8.5 million people in the field workforce. And we have about 450,000 job openings. And last year when I was doing these interviews, we also had about 450,000 job openings. So that demand is there. It's largely driven by mega projects, the significant investments in reshoring manufacturing, but also large expansions of hospitals and pharmaceutical plants and the college and university construction, the K-12 construction, your general public works stuff. All of that has growth to it, and all of that is investments that either private entities or the United States is doing. So there's a lot of work in construction. Construction can be a little cyclical. We can, move up and down with the economy, but we're also very stable. People need their roofs replaced. They need their plumbing fixed. They need their electric fixed. They need to build new buildings for warehouses and offices and all the different things that occur there. From an apprenticeship perspective, apprenticeship programs have been around for, thousands of years. They're very organized in the United States. Some are controlled at state level programs. Some are controlled at federal programs. Under the federal rules, but they typically have some common characteristics. 3 to 5 years of training, depending on the trade and the type of work that you're doing. Most of them also have what you'd call journeyman upgrade training. So if you've graduated from the apprenticeship program, there's probably other training you can do to broaden out your skill set. You'll learn a variety of things. Common to all trades are things like safety, basic blueprint reading, maybe a little bit of estimating and understand how projects actually work and come together, and some basic project management skills. But you'll then also learn things specific to the craft that you're experiencing. So in sheet metal, you're going to learn how to, form ductwork. You're going to learn how to do architectural metal and build metal roofs and metal edging. You'll learn how to build round shapes and square shapes and oval shapes and, all the different things that might go into a building in an HVAC system or from a flashing perspective to keep the building secure and dry. If you were a carpenter, you'd probably be learning, how to, do wood framing and metal framing and drywall and, solid surfaces and all the different things a carpenter would do. If you're a laborer, you're going to learn how to support all the other crafts and some skills around concrete and, different types of construction. And you can keep going. Electrician's going to learn a lot of specialized skill for electrical work. The, plumbing and the pipe fitter are going to learn a lot of skills about how to put together the pieces and parts that make the guts of the building work, just like the HVAC guys.
Now, a lot of these jobs, you mentioned electricians, for example. If you're going to be an electrical engineer, that's going to require some degree work at the college level. But if you're going to be that guy who is working for a local electrical company or electricians, that you're going to go out, you're going to work in somebody's home, or you're going to do the other things that they get involved with, most of that training is going to come on the job level, it seems.
Yeah, it's going to come on the job level. And if you're in a formal apprenticeship program, you're going to get a grouping of formal training hours within the apprenticeship program. But then you will also get your on-the-job training at the same time. If you're not in the apprenticeship program, you might get enrolled in, classes at local programs. Your contractor might have their own classes that they develop on their own, or they work with a group of partners to do. But one of the best things about construction, particularly the unionized side of construction, is you get paid while you learn. So we're investing in the worker, in our employees, as they're learning their craft. And our goal is to make them a great worker, so they're incredibly productive for us.
Absolutely. And again, not spending the money to go get that education somewhere, but earning money while you're doing it, that's a win-win for folks who enter a program that way. Another area that came to mind as you were talking is infrastructure in the country gets older every day. And it seems like those kind of things, whether it's highways or drainage or other situations, that governments are going to need folks who have these skills that are going to be able to maintain infrastructure that needs constant maintenance.
Absolutely. And most of that maintenance is done by private contractors, not by the government. So our large contractors that do, the heavy industrial work, that maintain the power lines, that maintain the sewer lines and, keep the power plants running. Almost all of that is, private contractors doing, government related work. Obviously, some states do more work with their own forces than others. So that, in 50 states, you've got 50 different experiments in democracy and choices they make. But the fact is that we need a lot of skilled workers to do that, whether they're employed by a private entity or a public entity. And that those infrastructure issues are going to continue to grow, particularly with the demands placed on the power grid for things like data centers and the massive data center construction that's sparked by AI. I happen to live in Northern Virginia, and, we're the land of data centers. And there's a moratorium right now on building new data centers, simply because there isn't enough power. It's a 7-year wait to get power. So you could build a data center, you just can't hook it up to anything.
Well, and some of those I've read across the country are moving into building their own power plants where they are in order to have the energy they need. Again, more need for your folks.
Exactly. And the sort of great upcoming boom that we should see in the next few years is the expansion of nuclear in the United States. Mm-hmm. We've been anemic in that sector for a long time. It's been very difficult to site new projects. And, the new technology for mini nukes that allow, siting in smaller areas to service, small regional industrial projects makes a lot of sense and, provides clean power for that demand.
Well, Homer Simpson has taught us you don't need a lot of training to work in a nuclear plant. That's for sure.
Maybe not Homer.
maybe not. That's not the worker we're looking for. But there are opportunities out there. How to get into them, find your way into them. The benefits of being in a career like that are immense. Number one, you're making a living for your family as you get started out, and that's not a bad way to go at all. Aaron Hilger's with us. He's the CEO of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. Career opportunities and how you get there this weekend on the Florida Roundtable.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-340-5510. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-340-5510. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-340-5510.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Back on the Florida Roundtable with Aaron Hilger, who is the CEO of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. We're talking careers in the trades. And Aaron, one of the things we were talking about earlier, we haven't had a chance to get into yet, is that not all of these are actually practicing a trade and doing the work with your hands. I'd be a lost ball in tall weeds doing that. But there are other careers out there and available. Let's talk about some of those.
Yeah, so the construction industry is really, people always think about the construction as careers in the trades, and that is a big part of what we are. It's the lion's share of our employment. But construction companies also look like any other company. We have accounting staff, we have HR staff, we have lots of project managers and estimators who help us get the projects and run the projects. And one of the things that we've noticed, we've spent a lot of time in the last few years really working on, field workforce staffing issues. And those are still concerns. We still need more people in the construction industry. We need more skilled people to build all the great infrastructure projects that we have in the United States. But a bigger constraint is becoming, having estimators and project managers who can, help us run that work and actually manage that work once we get it. There's a pretty high demand right now, for entry-level office workers who really want to learn construction. And, that's, someone who might have been in the field a little bit, might have learned, and gotten the taste for building things and decided they like that, but also wants to see the business side of the industry. Some of it is, people that graduate from construction management programs or other project management type programs with degrees from 2 and 4 year colleges that are interested in learning how to put all the Legos together on a construction job site. As we do these, I mentioned earlier, we do these big mega projects, and there's 150 or 200 of them that we track in the US and Canada. Those projects, might take, for a sheet metal contractor, 2 or 3 project managers, as opposed to maybe 1 project manager. They might have a dedicated estimator to manage the change order and all the change orders and all the different things that occur on the job site. That's a different staffing demand. If you're a $100 million or $200 million a year contractor and you get a $100 million job, that's a completely different staffing demand than the grouping of, 5 or 10 or 20 million projects that you normally do. So we've seen that increase our need for really qualified office staff as well as junior office staff to train into those senior roles.
Wow, it's broader than people would think, and I'm glad we got there. Technology is changing our world in many, many ways. Latest craze is artificial intelligence. Whether we agree that it's intelligent or not, probably artificial, but it is also changing the speed with which we can do things. And as long as you're verifying what it's doing, technology is changing in the construction world too. Let's talk a little bit about how that's in play.
there's lots of neat technology that his construction, and of course, you know, AI, we could start there. I will tell you, I don't think we really know how to use AI in construction yet, but we're spending a lot of time and effort trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts at simple things like how do you analyze construction documents, and are there more efficient ways to do that using AI or technology tools, though you're still going to want a pair of human eyeballs on them looking at them? You know, can you better organize and manage your projects and create better workflows using AI technology, which then, you know, helps your field workers or your manufacturing workers in a sheet metal shop perform more effectively and be more competitive to get more work?
Or maybe resourcing materials for a major job.
Materials.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how you lay out and set up. We've been doing that kind of stuff for a long time. So AI really hits a lot of different things. I think some of it is extensions of things we're already doing with different types of software programs. No, I like to think of AI as a really smart intern that doesn't really know very much.
that's so a good call. I like that.
Yeah. So you get some, like, you get some really cool ideas sometimes out of it. And other times you're like, wow, if I did that, I'd lose my company. So you really have to manage, you know, how you're using AI and how you're thinking about AI and what you're using it for. And also being very careful that you aren't putting your proprietary information out on, you know, if you're using a public instance of ChatGPT, well, that becomes all your information is public. So you really got to think about your information security and how you're doing things.
Sure.
If I look at the field workforce, you know, we're using all sorts of, you know, cool drone technology to look at buildings and map buildings. You know, we use lasers to level things. I see the growing presence of technology in the field workforce is going to keep expanding. You're also starting to see in, you know, very small cases, you know, some different types of, you know, like robotic technologies. Some of those can be as simple as frames that help you lift things and, you know, move things around a little bit easier on a job site. If you think of the old sci-fi with a robot exoskeleton, we're not quite there yet, but there's that kind of technology floating
sure.
around. You also see, you know, there's a great company based in upstate New York who is, you know, built a bricklaying robot. And if you have really long straight runs, that robot can do some really neat things. I think their better product is actually one they call the Mule, which helps people lift 80-pound block. And if you're a mason and have to lift 80-pound block all day long, you know, after the first hour, that day kind of stinks.
Yeah.
So having a tool to make that easier and better and safer for the people doing it and allow them to use their higher level skills as opposed to just being a strong pair of hands is a fantastic way to kind of grow and change the industry and let us produce, you know, more projects.
I had an uncle who made a heck of a living for his family traveling the globe as a welder, and he was a pipeliner for a living, and he did that for decades. But even that's changing. You something that I saw in the material about your organization mentions laser welding, and I guess that changes that job a little bit.
Yep. Laser welding is fantastic. It's a game changer for contractors who know how to use those tools and, you know, produce really clean welds and very strong bonds. Not for everybody, not for every application, but, you know, it's another interesting tool to be able to make our manufacturing process. It's one of the things that sheet metal contractors are kind of unique on in the construction industry is that we are true manufacturers. We take flat pieces of metal, build it into the desired shapes they need to be in, and then those shapes, whether it's ductwork or architectural work or the things that go into a building, go right into that building and are installed. So most construction industry, you take raw materials, pieces and parts, and put them together. We actually take the raw material, make it into something, and then actually install that particular piece in the industry. So that's where something like laser welding comes in. Another neat thing that you'll see in apprenticeship programs is virtual welding. So you'll put on a little headset, and you'll have some tools in your hands, and you'll actually learn how to weld, and the technology is amazing, virtually, without any risk or danger of having a live object for the first time in your hand. And learning on those virtual tools actually makes stronger welders over time.
I know that would be safer for everybody around me if I were there.
Me too. I'm good at some things. That's not one of them.
Yeah. Hey, brother, I know the feeling. There are just a multitude of opportunities here. And it sounds to me as if the training that comes out of these apprenticeship programs or other programs that may exist is top notch, because folks are focused on the success of the individual employee, because that means the company's successful and doing the job they're supposed to do.
That's correct. You know, we need as when we're craft, when we're building apprenticeship programs, which are the sort of the gold standard of training in this space, you know, the curriculum is, you know, built around, you know, progressive skills. So you're going to learn skill A, which fills into skill B, which moves into skill C. So you're going to become, you know, a more skilled worker over a period of time, and you're going to learn to do more complex projects. Once you graduate from one of those programs, I think your obligation in the industry doesn't end. You know, there's going to be lots of opportunities to learn about new products and new tools. And, you know, laser welders really, you know, really didn't exist a few years ago. Now we're using them and teaching people how to use them, right? So those opportunities show up. And, you know, it's like everything else. You know, the more you put into your career, the more you get out of it, right? So sure. I always, you know, counseled young apprentices when they were starting in programs, you know, the more things you learn today and the more you're willing to learn later, the more work you'll do. The more overtime you'll get, the more projects you'll be on, the more senior you'll become. Maybe you'll become a field leader. And we do need a lot of field leaders, by the way. That's an area we can dive into a little bit. Having fantastic field supervision is a big deal. And field supervisors are, you know, we call them, you know, foremen or forepersons or forewomen. They are, you know, people who are trades folks who've decided to take that next step up and become a leader in their craft and in their field. And they might have a crew of 5, 10, or 50 employees that they're managing to build that project. And they're a bridge between, you know, the office workers, the project managers and estimators, and the field workforce and the people that really keep everything going. It's a hard job, but it's a fantastic and rewarding job if you want to do it.
What kind of experience would they need in order to transition into that?
So most of the most people who become field leaders, you know, they are a skilled crafts worker. They've learned something about the trade. They've shown some, you know, great skills in that space. Both companies and the apprenticeship programs will provide leadership training to field leader, to people who want to be field leaders, because the soft skilled piece is probably the hardest part of that. You know, learning how to manage people as opposed to being part of a crew is the biggest headspace change from going to a great field.
And especially if it's where you've been working already and you've already got relationships developed, that changes the dynamic of those some.
You're working with all your buddies, so you got to manage your buddy, and you got to tell your friend John, man, you're not doing it today. What's going on? How do you get into that better place? Or you got to tell the guy you hate, man, you've done a great job today. I'm really proud of the work you did. Totally different headspace to just showing up on the job site, but one that's vitally important.
Yeah, there is no doubt. When we continue on the roundtable, I want to talk a little bit about the benefits, the safety concerns, the things that go into play there, and sustaining a family in a career where you can make a living and do these things, and it's maybe easier to get into than you might have thought. Aaron Hilger's with us, and we're going to talk the trades and your career coming up on the Florida Roundtable. Stay with us here on the Florida News Network.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-961-1527. That's 800-961-1527. 800-961-1527.
The skills needed to drive safely are the first ones affected when you use drugs or alcohol. When you get behind the wheel impaired, you put your life and others at risk. You can also face a DUI. DUIs are costly, and you will lose your license. And you may even face jail time. DUIs stay on your record for 75 years. Drive sober or game over. Visit flhsmv.gov/impaired for more information. Sponsored by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Fresh Florida bell peppers. These culinary chameleons make every meal just as dazzling as they are delicious. Vivid and vibrant and downright delectable, boasting a playful palette of colors, Florida bell peppers paint any dish a flavorful masterpiece. From picturesque pastas to spicy salsas, fresh stacked salads to sizzling fajitas, Florida bell peppers are a feast for all the senses. To see what Florida bell peppers can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, I'll get it out in a minute. Bill Mick with Aaron Hilger as we talk careers in the trades. And Aaron, let's get down to brass tacks. Number one, everybody wants a job where they can make a living, support themselves, their family, and hopefully do a little better than that, put something aside for the future, be able to take a vacation when you want to take one, and have the benefits you need for your family, whether it's insurance or retirement planning. So how does a career in the trades fit into that kind of picture?
A career in the trades is an amazing path for that, assuming you're committed to a career in the trades, just like any other career. You've got to really want to show up, be there, work the overtime that's offered. But, you know, if you're a first-year worker in the trades, if you're in a unionized program and an apprenticeship program, you might make $20, $30, $40 an hour in your envelope, plus have a great benefit package that includes health care and a retirement program, which probably includes an annuity fund, which is like a 401k,
right,
and a pension for later on. So you're going to have a whole bucket of benefits that you can take advantage of. Over time, as your career increases, you're going to see progressive salary increases each year if you're in a traditional apprenticeship program that follows that model. There'll be a different model in the non-union sector, which is going to reward you based on your skill set and your amount of work. It's similar to union, but a little bit different. But one of the things I love about the building trades, and I've loved working around the building trades and being involved in all the apprenticeship programs that I was in, was, you know, seeing a young man or a young woman, you know, show up for their apprenticeship interview and they're all nervous, and they get in the program and they graduate from the program after a few years. Maybe they have a little bumper, and they like anyone else as they're learning, they have some ups and downs as they go through it and, you know, learn something from an employer or whatnot. And then, you know, 5 or 6 years later, they've bought their first house, they got a brand new F-150, maybe they're thinking about having their first kid. You know, that to me was always incredibly rewarding about being around the trades and seeing the investments we make in people every day.
Well, the other thing that the training brings into play, and you've mentioned it 2 or 3 times during the hour here, and that is there is a strong safety element that's preached into all of this, and I think that's one of the wisest things anybody can do.
Now, our goal is zero accidents. Humans make mistakes, right? So obviously that's when accidents happen. So we're never going to be perfect as individuals. But, you know, all good construction companies put safety in the forefront. We don't want to put a worker in harm's way for the humanistic reasons of that, but there's also practical business reasons. You know, if you're an employer that has a lot of injuries, your insurance is going to cost a lot more money. You're not going to get a job in the construction industry. And that's actually a good thing. Because if you're not working safely, maybe you shouldn't be in that industry. So, you know, our sector, you know, the segment that I represent, we invest heavily in safety. We invest heavily in safety training. You know, almost all of our workers will have at a minimum an OSHA 10-hour class. Many will have an OSHA 30. They've probably gone through specific fall protection programs. If they're in confined space areas, they'll get confined space training. You know, there's a plethora of requirements that, you know, we will happily make sure everybody complies with.
Your association has some numbers on job growth and what's to be expected in the coming 10 years, 8 years, something like that. What's it looking like for folks who are considering a career in the trades?
Yeah, so I think the construction industry right now is poised for continued growth. There's probably an expectation of 5 to 7% growth this year and similar numbers of growth in the overall construction starts as well as construction volume. In the next, you know, 10 years. You know, I expect on the sheet metal side of the industry to see 3 to 5% growth, depending on types of jobs, number of retirements, all the different things that we have to deal with. But there's a strong, sustained path with the reshoring of manufacturing, which we're going to see, you know, certain aspects of. Some of that is slowed down, some of it is sped up. And with all the infrastructure needs that we have to put money to, you know, it's wonderful that we built out that Eisenhower built the interstate highway system. That was the 1950s. Now we have to replace all of that. That's one simple example, oversimplified, but, you know, the number of obsolete roads and or obsolete bridges in the United States is an extraordinarily large number.
And scary.
All those at some point. And scary, when you think about it, right? And there's, they're not actually unsafe, but they're functionally obsolete, or they're beginning to have structural deficiencies. Those things need to be corrected before they become unsafe. And, you know, we have an electrical grid that needs to be built out. to supply all of the mega projects, to supply the data centers, and to deal with increased power consumption. Related to that is actually building more power plants, whether they're nuclear or other types of plants. So there's a series of dominoes that keep falling that point to strong continued growth in the construction industry.
That's interesting. And whatever it is, if it's been around a while, maintenance is going to be necessary. That's true. I see it on beachside condos here all the time. There's always concrete work going on in some of these places, other replacing of either air conditioning system or roofs or whatever may be in play. So those jobs are going to be essential for some time to come.
And you can't outsource them. The best part of construction industry jobs is technology might change them a little bit, but someone still has to show up and do them. So if you're worried about AI or other things taking your job, construction's a great place to be.
If you're working with your hands, it's tough for AI to have that. There is no doubt. Aaron Hilger's with us. We're going to wrap it up when we continue in just a moment. And coming up in April from the 7th to the 11th is National Careers in Trades Week, a place and a time when you could learn more about this and maybe point it to somebody in your family's future. When we continue on the Roundtable.
World-class fishing, crystal blue waters, endless sunshine. There's so much about Florida's waterways to enjoy. Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission encourages you to take part in the National Spring Aboard campaign and take a boating safety course today. You can take the course in a classroom or online. Just make sure you take a course. The knowledge gained by taking a course will make you and your family and friends safer and allow you to have more fun out on the water. To learn more, visit Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
Mosquitoes are a nuisance. They can transmit deadly diseases like Zika and West Nile virus. Protect yourself with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Placed in ponds, bird baths, or any standing water, Summit Mosquito Dunks are harmless to people, pets, and wildlife, but kill mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite and last for 30 days or more. Find Summit Mosquito Dunks at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Did you know in Florida, 1 in 3 traffic crash fatalities are the result of an impaired driver? These fatalities are 100% preventable, yet thousands of people drive impaired every year. I'm on the way home from college for spring break. Don't let your decision to drive impaired be the reason I don't arrive alive. Drive sober or game over. Visit flhsmv.gov/impaired for more information. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the Tax Pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Wrapping up the Florida Roundtable for this weekend, Aaron Hilger with us, the CEO of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. And Aaron, coming up April 7th through the 11th is National Careers in Trades Week. Let's talk about what that is and what's out there and available for folks who are considering a career in the trades.
Sure. So, you know, for us, for SMACNA, that's, you know, an opportunity to, you know, take some extra time to highlight the great opportunities we have in the trades and, you know, tell some great stories about people who have had wonderful careers in the trades. For a lot of our contractors, you know, you're starting to really swing into the, you know, start of the construction season, particularly if you're in the Northeast or some of the colder climes. So they're really into their hiring modes right now and getting ready to staff jobs. About 30 or 35 of our contractors are hosting heavy metal summer camps this year, which is a fantastic learning experience.
Does that involve music too?
It does not involve music, but it involves sheet metal and welding and all sorts of fun stuff that we do, which, you know, puts kids into a shop environment where they get to learn how to design and build a couple projects and get a little bit of taste for construction. And those are available for, you know, anybody in those areas that can apply to the programs. If you go to the, if you Google heavy metal summer experience, you'll find it. It's actually run by Angie Simon, who's a SMACNA past president. You'll also see, you know, a lot of schools have career days around now.
Yeah.
So a lot of our chapters and contractors will be involved in your local high school career day, whether it's the week of this particular week or other weeks. And a lot of the apprenticeship programs will show up. One of the great things that's changed in the last, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years, is before it was hard for an apprenticeship program to get invited to a high school career day. And now they actually get invited and we're asked to come in. So you're seeing that change happen in a really positive way, where the high schools are a little bit open to, you know, not every kid going to college, but maybe every kid getting a job, which is not really how they're being measured. So we should probably measure them on that a little bit too, not just on their high school graduation rate or their number of kids who went to college. But, you know, I think,
well, thankfully, at least here on the Space Coast where I am, we've got programs that are focused on getting kids ready for the space industry that's growing here like crazy. And again, all kinds of jobs, from construction to office to actually helping put those rockets in the air.
Yeah, those are fantastic jobs. You know, and it's not just construction that has great apprenticeship programs and training programs. The space industry is a beautiful example of that. And, you know, all the interesting, complex engineering and things they have to build for it, you know, someone has to make those, you know, make those projects a reality.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys do to get ready for a national Careers and Trades Week? What are you putting together for these folks?
So we know we're putting together a lot of materials for our members and our chapters so that they have, you know, stuff to hand out to folks. A lot of them do that already. We're obviously doing a lot of programs like this where we're talking about construction careers and trying to raise awareness. And, you know, if I influence, you know, one or two parents on your program to, you know, tell their kids, hey, maybe you should look at this path, you know, I think we've done a great job. You know, I'd love that to be 100 kids, but at the same time, I'll take anyone that I can get because we have so many wonderful opportunities for people to have a fantastic, meaningful career in the construction industry.
Aaron, do you have a website if folks are interested where they could go take a look?
Absolutely. Go to smacna.org, smacna.org.
Smacna.org. Well, that's going to get you there. And Aaron, thanks for taking the time. I've enjoyed the conversation this weekend. Good luck as you head into next month and that Career and Trades Week. And hey, buddy, keep the country growing, would you?
I will, man. Thank you for the time today. I really appreciate being on your program.
Well, I enjoy it and appreciate that you took the time with us here. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. You can find podcasts of the show top of the page at BillMick.com. And appreciate you spending time with us here on the Florida News Network. We will take a look next week at some insurance-specific things going on in the state of Florida. Big concerns here. And we'll see you next weekend right here on the Florida Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.